You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. Let me tell you a story. A family is renting a home. There's a problem. It might be sewage backing up into the basement, or maybe the furnace stops working. The family calls the landlord. The landlord does nothing. The family's still paying rent. They call the landlord repeatedly. Nothing happens. Out of frustration, the family stops paying rent. They are evicted. They move to another house, and then there's a problem. The cycle begins again. Those who try to fight an eviction are quickly caught up in legal issues that are bewildering. According to a report in the Detroit News by Christine McDonald, only 4.4% of renters show up in court with a lawyer. 83% of landlords have legal representation. That's prompted a call for Detroit to provide attorneys for renters who have been evicted and feel they have the grounds to fight it. Here to talk about that is Ted Phillips. He's the executive director of the United Community Housing Coalition. It's a group that helps people with housing issues. So why do people need a lawyer to fight an eviction?
Well, these are cases that come up very quickly. From filing to when they're in court is 10 days. And by the time the person gets notice, it's 3 or 4 days before that. There's as many as 200 to 300 cases a day heard in the Detroit court. There's 3 judges that hear them. And if you don't have an attorney, you can whip through a hearing in 60 seconds. So it's very difficult to get your rights heard when you're in a situation like that. Everybody's kind of moving quickly. Having an attorney gives you a chance to step back, look at the legal issues, and try to get things resolved.
So if there's a problem, though, with a rental unit, like the furnace is out or something, can't the tenant simply call a city inspector if the landlord's not doing anything? That city inspector could put some pressure on the landlord to fix the problem.
And that does happen from time to time. But in addition to that, what happens is when they call the city inspector and they don't have an attorney to represent them, at the end of the process, what they find is that then there's a 30-day notice coming to them to evict them. It's retaliatory. There's protections under the state law. But unless somebody's in court to raise those issues, very often they get missed.
So how common is this? How many evictions in a year happen in Detroit?
So we don't have good numbers on those. What that means is that when the bailiffs do evictions, they don't come back and file the proper paperwork with the court to show. I do know anecdotally from the prior chief judge of the court, she said there were 10,000 bailiff evictions a year. This is back when there was nearly 40,000 cases filed. And our guesstimate is about a quarter of those ended in a bad way. And that's just with the bailiff evictions. I mean, there's a lot of people that move before that time because they don't want to be forced out. They move into other places, as you described earlier, that are not suitable because that's better than moving into a shelter or moving into the street.
So what's the worst that can happen to somebody if they don't have representation in a situation?
Well, the worst that can happen depends on the circumstance. And the ones that we really prioritize are those who are very, very low income and in subsidized housing, either public housing or Section 8 housing or have a Section 8 voucher. Because in those instances where somebody has a rent of $50 to $100 a month, that's what they can afford. So if they lose that housing, they lose that subsidy, and potentially they lose that subsidy for life. This goes back to the Clinton years and the Republican takeover of Congress back then. So we really do everything we can to make sure that those folks don't lose the subsidy, are able to win their case, or if they can't win their case, at least are able to keep their vouchers and keep their rights to move elsewhere and have that subsidy. Because their result is going to be long-term homeless. I mean, where is the family going to go when the best they can afford per month is $50? Yes, they've got a whole bunch of other problems they need to deal with. They need to get jobs. They need to get disability help. But without having housing, that's going to be 5 times worse getting that than it ever would have been before.
Now, you're arguing that maybe the city of Detroit should pay for these lawyers. Where does the city of Detroit find the money to hire lawyers for every person that might be unfairly facing eviction?
Well, we're talking about folks who are unable to pay for a lawyer themselves. So we're not talking about necessarily everybody, although the overwhelming majority of the tenants coming through the 36th District Court are low income, 150 to 200% or less of poverty level. But the city does get some federal money. They do spend a lot of money dealing with homeless issues, and we know that this is something that can reduce that. I mean, we know anecdotally from our own experience, while there was only 4.4% of all the tenants represented in that court, we know that over 1,000 of those represented were from our office alone. So we have a pretty good idea as to how those cases work. And while we know that, or we believe that 20 to 25% of the cases that go through that aren't represented are evicted, we can almost name the ones of ours that were. It's basically a handful. And those are usually cases where somebody comes to you at the point where there's a bailiff on the way out, But at that stage, it's very difficult to stop it, and then you just got to mitigate against
the damage. Right, they should have hit you a lot earlier, it sounds like.
You know, they didn't know. I'm not dumping on them, but those are hard to deal with.
The argument in support of hiring lawyers for tenants who are facing eviction is if Detroit provided that legal representation, it would actually save money in the long run. How?
Well, I think the city recognizes it saved money, too. They had representation at a conference we recently did, and they seemed to get it, and they seemed to be very supportive, and I'm very, very hopeful of this effort. But saves money, certainly on the homeless end. I mean, I was just checking this morning with some folks with the Homeless Action Network, and they tell me that it's when somebody's in a shelter, it's $16 a day per person. I mean, that can add up to a heck of a lot of money. If it escalates to the point where they need to get into a permanent supportive housing program or one of these other programs, that can be thousands and thousands of dollars. When somebody loses everything, when everything's thrown in a dumpster and hauled off, and if you're going to work with the family to replace all their furniture, their stoves, refrigerators, all of that, that can be incredibly costly. The other issue with the city is, and I'm a resident of the city of Detroit, have been all my life, but the reality in Detroit is when property is vacant, very often it gets vandalized, and that ends up being a huge cost to the city for demolition. So there's a whole slew of costs that are very, very calculable that can be saved if you can prevent somebody from being evicted on the front end. And then there's the costs that are hard to put a dollar figure on. How do you deal with the person who loses his job because he doesn't have a place to live? How do you deal with the kids that aren't able to stay in the same school and what impact that has? And there's studies on, you know, what homelessness does to kids. And the best indicator of somebody being homeless as an adult is, were they homeless as a kid? So there's tons of stuff that you can look at that indicate that this is really a serious way to deal with problems of homelessness and the impact that has.
Does it look like the city is interested in really talking about this?
Oh, I think definitely.
I want to bring up another issue. Last year, under the Trump administration, you faced losing a couple of grants from the Department of Housing and Urban Development, also known as HUD. Those grants meant about 40% of your funding. What happened?
Well, we lost it. We appealed, but we still lost the funds. We got some support from some foundations to try to continue some of our work there. Those funds were dealing specifically with homeless individuals and folks within a few days of being evicted. And they were to find housing for people, to make sure it was decent and affordable housing, and to help pay to get them into those homes. We had about 1,000 homeless a year that we were able to assist with two grants. And HUD decided that homeless people didn't need that kind of service in Detroit. And I say that because once we lost the funds, I asked repeatedly, you know, the bailiff is on the way. Where do I tell him to go? And I never got an answer. So
what's odd about that is, you know, HUD is headed up by Dr. Ben Carson. He's a Detroit native. Why would you think HUD is cutting grants for an organization working to keep people in their homes?
For that particular program, at this point, all of the money that's going into it, or 95% of it, is around paying rent subsidies, essentially. What we were doing was not that. We did not have the funding to do that. And the other rent subsidy programs are really good programs. There's no knock on them, but there are also other folks that aren't going to be able to get their rent subsidized for years on end. And with a lesser level of help, they could have been assisted and were being assisted and had been for nearly 15 years with one grant and about 10 with the other.
Ted Phillips is executive director of the United Community Housing Coalition in Detroit. We've been talking about how we can get legal representation for people who are facing eviction at city expense and how that would save the city money in the long run. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Back in 2011 in Kalamazoo, the 8th District Court experimented with assigning lawyers to tenants, and it was deemed a success. A Michigan State University law professor, Brian Gilmore, wrote an op-ed last fall, and we interviewed him about his support to give tenants lawyers. Well, we heard from a landlord who told us we only heard part of the story. Since we're looking into that issue again, we wanted to invite him on to talk about landlords' experiences. Bill Morris owns 31 houses in and around Battle Creek. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Nice to be on.
Some of these circumstances are about tenants getting evicted because they complained about broken furnace or water heaters or so on. But you want to talk about the procedure when a tenant fails to pay the rent and you want to evict them. So what's the process you have to follow?
This is the process and how it works. Number one, if the tenant doesn't pay all the monies that are owed for rent, I have to deliver a 7-day notice to the tenant. At that point, after the 7 days, I take the 7-day notice to the court, unless it's a holiday or a weekend, and I have to file for eviction at the county courthouse, which, of course, costs money. And then I have to have somebody serve the person, which costs money. And then we're finally given a court date, which can be 1 to 4 weeks before we get an actual court date. And when we finally go to court, that's when legal aid gets involved and the delays begin. What they do is postpone and stall. So when we finally get a real court date after it's been postponed 4 or 5 times, and I have to continue to bring an attorney, which costs money, we get the real court date just before you walk in. Legal aid walks up to me and says, listen, give them 30 more days and they'll move out. If you don't, good luck collecting from them. We'll just continue in the court cases and delay longer.
You're saying legal aid has said this to you?
Yes, I have it in writing. And then when it's all said and done, legal aid gets to say, hey, there was no eviction. Great. There is an eviction. My worst case, the person didn't pay me December 8th. I served them their 7-day notice on December 10th, and it took all the way to September 10th to get them out the door. In the meantime, I paid all the rent. I paid all the taxes. I paid all the insurance. And then I had to pay all the damages that they left. I have pictures of all that. When it was said that it only cost me $15,000 to get them out of the house. We had this 6 court dates that were all postponed. That's court time that's taken up that shouldn't have been taken up. Imagine all the money we could save if we didn't go to court. 6 or 7 times this stuff was just solved. And as far as a slumlord, if that's part of what you're trying to report on, if the person doesn't fix the furnace and they go to court, I would still have the tenant pay into escrow account. And if it's shown that the landlord didn't fix the furnace, sue him.
Let me ask you, though, how many times have you had to deal with this process? You've got 31 properties. Does this happen regularly?
Four times. And a lot of the times it's easier just to pay somebody. Here, I'll give you $1,000. Go away. Move out. Clean the house when you leave, and I'll give you $1,000.
It sounds like your tenants in the Battle Creek area are already getting help from legal aid. Would a municipal change giving tenants a lawyer when they're facing the eviction basically come down to the same thing?
It's going to be the same thing. The person simply can't pay. If you don't want them to move out, then society needs to pay money so that they don't move out. It shouldn't be just all me. Why should I pay for somebody to live free for 7 months all by myself? $15,000 it cost me to get the last bad one out. I almost went bankrupt. I only had 8 houses at the time. I had to borrow money. My kid's college was postponed.
What do you think needs to change? What can change to both safeguard tenants and landlords?
Well, this is what I say, and this is a Florida law. At the first court date and every court date, all monies owed need to be paid into an escrow account. If the money is not paid, the tenant is evicted that day by the sheriff. I feel if the tenant actually has skin in the game and they cared, you know, monies would have been paid. Landlords shouldn't be the only business where somebody doesn't pay, and now I'm forced to give them something free. If you walk into McDonald's and order burgers and they don't pay you, you call the sheriff, they go to jail. McDonald's isn't forced to feed them for another 7 months for free. Same thing with walking into the Walmart to buy clothing. Oh, well, they didn't pay for it. They go to jail. If they're like treated like a landlord, they walk into Walmart and don't pay. Walmart has to give them free clothes for 7 months.
So have you talked to any legislators about the changes that are needed?
I have tried, and that's impossible to set up an appointment with a legislator.
What do you want them to know? This is your chance right now.
I would like them to change the law so that the tenants actually have skin in the game. If they don't pay, they need to be evicted. That solves all the issues. It would save, I mean, legal aid postponed in different ways six different times. Every month we were supposed to be in court. It took that long, all the way to September before we finally got the court date, where I gave them an extra 30 days to get out. That's just not right. That is not right. That's not fair. and that's not any way to run a business. And it's little businesses that make our country what it is. And if you're not going to take care of the little businessman, we fail.
Bill Morris is a landlord in the Battle Creek area. I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.